Conversations with Maria Menounos. Podcast edition. Inspiration.
Is there anything she can't handle? She looks fear in the face day after day, but yet she never runs. She's unbreakable. She's a warrior. She's you.
Growth.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Community.
These things happen because you have to live your true self in a bigger way.
Featuring the best of Maria Menounos' SiriusXM show with celebrity and life-changing interviews, thoughts on the week, and more. And it's free. All we ask is that you rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes and tell a friend to subscribe to SiriusXM. Listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos on SiriusXM Stars 109 at 1 p.m. East. And now here's your host, Maria Menounos.
I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life.
Happy Friday. Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. Got a great show for you guys today. Back in the co-host seat as always, Miss Ashley Daniels.
Hey, hey.
And we have a special guest, Miss Becky Lynch, WWE superstar. Love, love, love having Becky in the house.
I will be in here.
A little free time. So Becky's visiting us. We had a great interview this week on Conversations with Maria Menounos, the SiriusXM edition. We're going to be bringing that to you on probably next week's podcast. But for now, you get Becky now.
That's the best way to get her, right?
Yeah.
Here and now.
Yeah. Start with a little Cardi B. Here's the quote of the day. Mistakes are always forgivable if one has the courage to admit them. Bruce Lee. How appropriate,
I love that.
Miss Christie. I appreciate that quote, and it's going to kind of guide us into what we're chatting about today, because we have a great set of interviews from this week's show. We have Dr. Stephen Gundry, and we also had Logan Paul on, which that quote really kind of fits.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I didn't know anything about Logan Paul before I interviewed him. Anything other than all of the drama that came out and the fallout from that Suicide Forest video.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear or see that?
I heard about it. I never saw it.
Yeah. And so in doing my research, I was watching the video for the first time and I was like, okay, what was the problem? What is everybody like upset about? And then it got to the end when he started joking and laughing and things like that. And so I was like, okay, so he turned his age. As I've watched and studied him preparing for the interview, I realized, gosh, this kid's really smart and he's really wise beyond his years. But he's still a kid.
Yeah.
And so he's still very, very young, and those things are going to happen. And so I wanted to chat with him, and I wanted to see what was going through his head. I admitted in the show that I've laughed at really horrible moments because I get nervous, and sometimes I nervous giggle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you guys understand that?
In church, that's all I would do is crack up laughing. The nuns would kick me out of church. The priests would get angry at me. I'd have to go to confession about it. I was like, it's not really, I'm not trying to laugh. It's just because I can't laugh. You want to laugh even more.
Yeah. 100%. And when somebody tells you something shocking and you kind of like, and then you just notice on their face that it's like, oh, that, but it was, I was nervous. I didn't know how to respond. But also that's the thing about being in the public eye when you're so young, that people think that you, when you're in the spotlight, you have it all together.
Yeah.
And you,
right.
But they forget that we're all just humans just trying to figure it out. And especially at that young age, like the stuff that you have to realize and to fall in front of everybody. I mean, that's got to be the hardest.
The pressure on both of you. I can't even imagine. Because when I tweet something out, I tweet it, I check once, but I'm like, whatever, I can delete it. If you two tweet something out and it's a little, so I don't know, it could be salacious, it could be just an angry tweet and you delete it, that's not deleted and it's everywhere the next day. I can't imagine what that feels like.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in that situation where you've like made a big mistake on the public kind of platform?
I don't think so, not to that level.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not going out shooting my own content all the time and putting out YouTube videos. I'm under the safety of the WWE umbrella, you know, like I've got my storylines and things like that. Somebody like a Logan Paul, like they have to go out and they're finding these things. And then,
well, when I started this radio show a few years ago, first thing I did was disclaimer, I'm pre-apologizing for anything I say that's stupid, that I didn't mean. I'm so sorry, because I know when you're live every day, it is totally within the realm of possibility that you're going to screw up. You're going to say something that hurts somebody's feelings, or you're going to make a mistake, or you may be influenced by the people around you and want to be cool and fun and like say something dumb, and it's not you. And I feel like we live in a very unforgiving society. And the second you make a mistake, you must be like murdered. Like your life should be over. And it shouldn't be like that, I don't think. No. Like we have to understand we are all human and we all make mistakes. And that's what I love about church, is like they really do preach the power of forgiveness. And when you forgive, you're relieving yourself of so much too.
Oh, absolutely. And I think often some of the hardest things can be to forgive yourself. Like, because everybody mm-hmm. else moves on with their lives. Like, okay, they might be upset about something for a day or you know, be outraged with this video. But then they'll move on.
Yeah.
They'll continue. But the scars and how that affects that one person, they're like, oh, I'm an idiot. Why did I do that? And I think when Bruce Lee said that quote about once you have the courage to admit it, once you own anything, it loses its power. It
yes!
completely loses its power.
Yes!
You're like, oh, I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot, everybody. I'm an idiot. And what can people say? Yeah, you're an idiot. And you're like, I know. I'm
Great.
An idiot.
That's right. it.
And then that's it.
Where
End
do you go from there? You're so right. It's funny. When we finished the interview with Logan, we were chatting after. And I said, Logan, I'm so impressed because you were so genuine with your admission of where you were at, how you handled yourself. And I said, you take the argument, you take everything out of people's hands. You take the guns out of their hands instantly yeah. by being so vulnerable and honest. And I think if we all learn that, you know, it's not an easy thing because you have to really put your ego aside. If we really learned how to genuinely apologize and be totally raw and honest, you're completely set free.
Completely. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that was the lesson in this
absolutely.
Interview.
And was that your interview that really made me see him, because I had seen his apology and it was genuine. I felt it was genuine, but I also was like, I was still grossed
it,
out
yeah.
by it. Yeah. And then I see you, I hear you talk to him, and you were noticing things about him that opened my eyes. And I think sometimes we have to be led to have our eyes open to certain things because we're not going to see them ourselves. We yeah. need someone at a higher level to, and I mean like at a higher level spiritually or emotionally, such as yourself, to kind of guide you towards seeing another part of somebody.
Yeah. Well, I think that you have to find the good qualities in people, right? Like, why are we always focusing on the negative? So the fact that he's built this empire, he's amassed almost 4 billion views himself, you know, on his own on YouTube and become this international star. It didn't just happen. He didn't just get lucky. He touched chords and he connected with an audience, and he's so smart. And I just love, you know, his brand is Maverick, and he says he's going to bend the universe, and he's about being different and embracing being different. And I admire that because I watch so many of us just wanting to fit in.
Yeah.
And it's a real terrible place to try to be in, a really boring place to be in. Mm-hmm. I've always really loved defending the people who were different because I admired it so much and their courage to stand up and say, I'm not like everybody else
yeah.
and I'm going to embrace this, a la, you know, the girl that I never remember her name, but she was on Dancing with the Stars a couple seasons ago and she was paired with Mark Ballas. She was a violinist and Lindsay Sterling. Thank you. And she was told that she was never going to succeed. She was like, I want to do violin concerts, but like dance in them and be crazy and all this stuff. And they laughed at her, and now she sells out Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And it's like, it's so unbelievable to see her inner element. And so whatever it is that you do, if you put everything you have in it and you believe, it will work. Like
right.
it just will.
Absolutely. And I'm at this point where I'm trying to figure out why that is. Do you know what I mean? Because it's the law of the universe. It happens.
Yeah.
It always does. You put that much concentration, that effort, all that thought, that belief, that positivity mm-hmm. into it, and it does. It happens. So I'm trying to figure out, is it a higher power? Is it the universe? Is it our subconscious? Is it a combination of all three?
Mm-hmm. So I got the book for you.
What's the book?
It's called Ask and It Is Given.
Okay.
And in the book, she talks about, Esther Hicks talks about, when your belief and your desire, if both of those things are 100% matched, you will get whatever it is you want. The universe is set to give you what you want. The only thing that happens is you create blocks by saying, oh my God, I want $1 million. But that's never going to happen. And I can't do this. But if it's like, I want $1 million and I'm going to do the work. And guess what? I know I can do this and I can earn it and I can figure it out. It will happen. Like, but you can't ever have those doubting moments, because the second you have these doubting moments, you're blocking the energy from giving you what you want.
But how do you stop having the doubting moments? I think everybody, like, yeah, no matter what, there's always like, and you've got to be able to shut it down.
Yeah.
You learn to get better at shutting it down, yeah, right? You get better.
Got to shift the energy.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes you go, but what if? This, or something happens and you're like, you wanted this, whatever, this job or whatever. And it doesn't happen. You don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you go,
but see,
oh,
you
no.
have to remember that life is happening for you, not to you.
And then
in
you
those
go,
moments,
it's not about how hard you get hit.
It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Yes.
Yes.
And so I think that, you know, like recently we've hit a stumbling block in a part of our lives, and it's been really, really, really heartbreaking. And I realized, okay, Maria, put your training into action. Life is happening for you, not to you. If I focus on all the negatives, like, oh, this sucks, I can't believe we have to deal with this, which I did for like a minute, and I'll have my moments, trust me, where it gets overwhelming. But I'm like, no, this is happening for us, not to us. I'm going to turn this into such a positive. I'm going to work so much harder to make this better and to know that this did happen for a reason, and we're going to come out the other side so much bigger and better. Even though right now it looks dark and gloomy, this is where we're going. And when you do that, all the energy shifts.
Yeah.
And you just have to remember to do that. And that's why getting the tools, listening to podcasts like this, where we have all of these great people on and we have these great conversations, is so important. Listening to Super Soul Sunday and reading these books like Ask and It Is Given, acquiring the tools, going to Tony Robbins seminars. I've acquired and am acquiring the tools to get myself into these good places, like remembering that focus equals failing. So if I just focus on the negative stuff that is coming from the situation that I'm heartbroken over, well, then guess what? I'm just going to keep attracting more negative. Because if you look at yourself like a magnet, think, what do I want to attract? Oh, I want to attract good. Okay, then I got to shift my energy. And it's not about, you know, being fake. It's like Tony says, if right now you're depressed, anybody who's listening to this right now, if you're depressed, and someone comes and they give you a Lamborghini, aren't you going to smile and be so friggin' excited? So are you depressed anymore? No, because just like that, you can change your mood. And so I know Santa Claus is not coming down with a Lamborghini, but if you know that you can shift your mood that easily, now you have to find something that's going to make you happy. And I was posting just the other day, we need to redefine the rules of what's going to make us happy so that we can access them more easily during our days. So for me, I made a list of, okay, this is what makes me happy. If I'm unhappy one day, these are the things that I can do that I know will bring me instant happiness. I love smelling flowers. I love nature. I love going out and being with nature. I love my poodle Winnie that's sitting on your lap, Banky, and she makes me so happy. And so rather than having to rely on an expensive vacation or some expensive gift to give me that momentary happiness, I've created a list of things that are my go-tos that I know will make me smile and make me happy and shift that energy.
Yeah. And I think as well, human connections as well, mm-hmm. when you've got like such a great rapport with people and around you.
The right
that,
people.
Yes, yeah. that you can talk to judgment-free,
right.
but that aren't going to help you wallow in it, that
exactly.
are going to put
That's
you
in check. That's what she
always
talks about.
Check.
She and Kevin yeah. always say, the yeah. person like sitting next to you, you know,
on
don't get your
stool.
Advice at the person at the bar stool. And it's sometimes it's better to be alone. It's their thing, yeah. but I yeah. love it.
It's Kevin's.
Yeah, it's Kevin's. Okay.
My husband.
Yeah. But I think it's really finding the right people. And if you don't have the right people in your life, don't settle. I think it's better to be alone and take the time to read those books or reflect
Completely.
In some way.
Yeah. And you'll end up attracting the right people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you brought so much sunshine to everybody today. You're so positive.
Yes.
You're so happy.
Yes.
Like that's a gift.
Right.
And I don't take that for granted. The other interview we have, because we have to move on, unfortunately, the other interview we have in this podcast today is Dr. Stephen Gundry. He wrote the book, The Plant Paradox, and he also has a cookbook as well. And ironically, Becky, you've already read this.
Yeah. I picked it up there a few weeks ago.
So you know about the evil lectins that are trying to get us.
But you can get a lectin shield, I've discovered since reading this book.
Yes.
To get rid of all your lectins.
However, he said that it's not something you want to do often.
Oh.
So he's like, when I want to cheat, if I'm in Europe and I want to cheat or something like that, once in a blue moon, he'll have that little lectin blocker or whatever. But you guys are going to learn in this interview what lectins are and how unbelievable it is that he's like, I see women all the time, and not just women, but men too. But a lot of women will come in and they are like, I eat so healthy. I just eat chicken and vegetables and salmon and whatever. And they eat so clean and they still are suffering from all these autoimmune diseases. I have Hashimoto's, so I know as well, you know, tons of things. And he can reverse and cure them with this diet. It's unbelievable. Dr. Oz, Tony Robbins, so many people are behind it and behind him. And we had such a great conversation. And then when we finished the show, I called him and we kept on talking because it was so amazing. And I'm going to be adopting this diet because I know even with the few things I am dealing with, I want to reverse those. But I want to get the lectins before they get me. How about that?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Let's all get the lectins before they get me. When you turn, you know, or you're going to, we should actually create a lectin character in the WWE.
Totally. I mean, it's the most common foods too. So that's the reason people really need to listen. There's just so many common things. And I'm like, wait, what?
Which you would never think of. I like highlighted, like I was like, what
chia
is
seeds?
This?
Well,
I mean, right.
Quinoa.
Goji berries.
In general. Your favorite.
Quinoa, I know.
Goji berries.
I know.
Goji berries.
You kidding me? I think it was cashews too. Beans.
A lot of nuts. Berries. Peppers.
So what do you eat? What do you do?
I'm a vegetarian.
You are.
I'm a vegetarian.
That's
so
great.
I'm reading this book going, I can't eat nuts.
Exactly. Maria goes, so I guess we're just going to eat air is what you're saying. I mean, really at this point.
I know. It's interesting. But I think it's so important for all of us to learn. So I'm excited to bring these interviews to you. I hope you're going to enjoy them. We're going to start off with Mr. Logan Paul, YouTube star with over 4 billion views. You're going to get to know Mr. Logan Paul up next. 4 billion views, that's billion with a B, on YouTube with his vlogs, music videos, and comedy skits. He's also appeared in several TV and film roles, has a clothing line, is competing in a highly anticipated social media celebrity boxing match. Please welcome Logan Paul.
Yo, yo, yo.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
And an official welcome to the hood.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You guys are like my first neighbor, second neighbor friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Well, we will introduce you to a whole other group.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We're a very tight-knit community here.
So I've heard. Yeah, all I know is neighbor Susie. She's my next-door neighbor.
Nice.
We made her an Instagram. She's got 100,000 followers.
Wait, no, you didn't.
That's amazing.
Wait, you made her an Instagram? She already has 100,000 followers?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, neighbor Susie.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love you have an Instagram for your dog. His dog's Instagram has more followers than me. Like 3 times more, honey.
He's got, Kong the Savage. He's at like, I think like 3.5 million.
Yeah.
Well, he's a Pomeranian and his tongue is like permanently out. As far as like social media like recipes go, that's perfect.
Yeah.
People love that.
Oh, he's so beautiful.
Yeah, he's
gorgeous.
And
he sits on his head and he's so cute.
Love palms.
I know.
Yo, you guys are hilarious. I was sitting in the green room listening. You guys are so funny. You guys are such fun neighbors.
Oh my God. Well, you know what's funny is I grew up with shitty neighbors and we grew up poor. So it's also was compounded by like not having any money either. And so I value having good neighbors for once. And I say to Kevin all the time, literally, I walk up my street and I still can't believe I live here and I've been here for 14 years. Every single day, I appreciate the fact that we live here and that we have this. I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's awesome. And as we've, you know, good, bad things lead to good things, right? So we were having a lot of robberies, a lot of neighborhood issues.
I heard about those, yeah.
And that made our community really tight-knit. And so we've got each other's backs, and we all feel safer because we have each other.
Brought the Illuminati together.
He calls them the Illuminati.
You said it. No, we all heard.
First rule of Illuminati is don't mention this Illuminati. Logan, don't kick me out.
No, bro,
I
want to
be
house.
In. No, I don't want to be kicked out of the Illuminati.
We were buying our Ring security cameras, and this one's talking to the guy. He's like, all right, listen, will this work for the Illuminati? He's talking about the Illuminati to some guy
at the mall. And the Ring salesman was like, there is one, isn't there? I go, fuck yeah, there is. I said, but please. I go, dude, you're going to get me killed. I go, swear to God, don't say anything, but yeah, there is one. I said, so.
Such a wackadoodle. You know, Logan, I was doing my homework, and I was watching. It was your 2017 wrap up and review.
Crazy, right? Yeah.
And first of all, I love the production quality. I loved all the cool things you did with the mirrors that turned into different things. It was unbelievable. But I was really impressed because I didn't know anything about you other than what has been in the press last year. So it was almost like you had an amazing 2017 and then shit blew up in 2018.
Crazy.
And so that's my only impression that I had of you.
I mean, that's the impression that most people have too, because unless you're in the internet space or you know the community, I haven't really broken into Hollywood the way I've wanted to yet, just because I've been so focused on digital. So yeah, most people, you probably have the perspective that most people have, just like some dumb, crazy 23-year-old running around being an idiot, which is semi-true.
By the way, you're sitting with the Hollywood career coach, so if anybody knows how to get you there, it's going to be him.
/ middle-aged idiot.
No, I can tell. I swear to God, I'm like, you guys are like the adult version of me. Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
I'm the Ray Donovan. This I'm the hilarious. Celebrity Ray Donovan, so when shit happens, I go in and fix and help.
Okay.
As does he, but My point is that was my impression of you. And then I watched that video and I saw something totally different. So I saw, I mean, someone who was wise beyond his years. Like, you are 23 and you talk like Kevin. Like, when Kevin used to yell at me when I was having hard times at work, he was trying to like shift my mindset. Mm-hmm. He was like, you get to go be on TV.
Yeah.
You get to go do this. And when you said that in your video, I was like, oh my God, oh my God.
That's amazing.
And then there were so many other moments, like even just, you know, how your brand, you know, Maverick, and you want to bend, what do you call it? Bend the universe?
Dent the universe.
You're so smart and like wise beyond your years. And I think what happens sometimes is it's like this weird dichotomy, because then you are the kid that you are. And it like is just so confusing.
I'm the dumbest smart kid in the world. just as dumb as I am, I'm equally as smart. Unfortunately, the smart side isn't shown on the internet, because that's not the entertaining side.
Well, it's not fun.
Yeah, right? Like, I got long hair, man. My knees show when I wear shorts. So like, I'm going to adopt that role for now. And then eventually when I grow up, I'll start to spread the knowledge, I guess.
Well, think about Howard Stern. If you look at his trajectory, they're finally now saying, last 5 years, 10 years, how smart he is.
Mm-hmm.
But forever, it was never that.
Yeah.
It was never that. It was the same thing. People were entertained by his antics, but
they never gave him the credit.
No. In fact, a lot of people were, you know, there were people against him too, because of it, who, you know.
So you started at a young age, and I know that you had your double knee surgery.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, I love what you wrote after that. So tell us a little bit about that, because I think that was the defining moment of your kind of switchover.
Yeah, it truly was. So I like, when I was all I wanted to do when I was a freshman in high school was play sports. And immediately I had a knee injury and I was devastated. And a year prior to that, I had a head injury. And so I was just riddled with injury after injury, and it was destroying the one thing that I wanted to do, which was athletics. And so I made a vow at 15 that I was going to be the most successful person I know, that I was going to be the best, I was going to be a champion. And I wrote all these things down on a piece of paper, and I would put it in front of the mirror, and I'd just read them to myself every morning and every night.
Where did I see that? Because I want people to go look at that. Was that on your Instagram or your Twitter?
It's on my Instagram. It's on my Twitter. I mean, but it's it's in my gym now. Like, I had it painted in my gym. Mm-hmm. The exact piece of paper that I wrote down.
Tell people a few of the things you wrote on there.
I will be the best. I will be stronger, better, and faster than I was last year. I am a champion.
I will work harder.
I will work harder. I will excel. Just, like, positive affirmations. Things that, like, I could truly, truly adopt and start to believe. Even subconsciously. Because there's a lot of times where, I doubt myself. People doubt themselves all the time, but if you're constantly just reminding yourself, like, I will be a champion, I am a winner, mm-hmm. I will excel, subconsciously, whether you like it or not, you start to believe it.
So who taught you how to do that? Yeah. Because I'm literally, I went to like this spiritual healing coach woman or whatever, and she had me, and Kevin eventually went too, she had me write some things down that if you read it every day, multiple times a day, it creates a whole new neural pathway, yeah. and that's the whole point of that. And it's to enter the subconscious. But where did you learn that at 23? Or actually, you were 15 when you did it. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah,
that's a great question. So I think obviously you guys know like the whole mindfulness movement is now kind of really taking steam, and The Secret had just come out, I think, around then. And mm-hmm. I didn't even read it. My mom just told me what the power of positive affirmations could do. And she's like, you know, just say like you will, like put it out there in the universe. And so I did, and then it worked. And then it worked again and again. And to this day, I'm still doing it.
Do you read that same thing?
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, it's in the gym when he works out.
It's in the gym.
So it's in his subconscious.
Well, I didn't know if he was doing something different.
I have some new ones. But it works. It's crazy because you start to believe it.
Yeah.
Even when you don't, you do. And it works. It's crazy.
Do you think it helps with imposter syndrome?
What? What's imposter syndrome?
You don't know about imposter syndrome?
No, what is it?
Well, it's kind of like when you're doubting yourself. Like you think like maybe I'm not as good as everybody thinks I am. And maybe I'm not really what everyone thinks I am. Like those kind of doubts.
Yo, okay. That's that's so interesting. I think so because, I mean, I'm sure. So
it's like, when are they going to all find out that I'm a fraud? It's like fraud mentality sometimes.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
A lot of the greats have.
I think for me, and I'm glad I learned this at a young age. So I've learned obviously so many things this year, in part due to the incident that happened in January, where I truly had to like take a step back and find out who I was becoming and the person that I wanted to grow up as. And one of the things I learned is that because overnight, essentially, I became like literally the most hated person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm there anymore. I think Donald Trump has got me beat, maybe. But yeah. It was crazy because up until that point, it was only wins. It was only success and positivity. And then overnight, everything changed. And so I realized one of the takeaways from everything that happened this year is that no matter how many people are telling me what they think I am or what I can't do, deep down I know who I am and I know what I have to offer for this world and what I'm going to achieve and what I'm going to do for it, in part maybe because every day I tell myself I will be a champion, I will excel, I will work hard. And it got to me for a little bit, but I took a step back and realized I'm not that. I'm not what people think I am. They don't know me. I know me. I know who I am. I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm capable of. So absolutely, I think it helps.
Did you get to that place? So anybody who's listening who doesn't know, in January you visited a suicide forest in Japan, right?
It's called the Aokigahara Forest. And we went in there to make a video camping overnight, and we wanted to focus on how the forest was quote-unquote haunted.
Mm-hmm.
It's been done a million times on YouTube. They made a movie about it. The Vice actually shot a documentary on it. And we expected to go in there and it'd be just a normal day, a normal vlog. So we had been vlogging, I think, 460 days in a row. We expected it to be another day, and obviously, it wasn't.
Yeah.
As everyone's seen.
Well, I will say, when I watched it, the first time I watched it was last night.
No way.
I had never seen it.
You watched it?
I watched it, and
I was actually impressed with how you handled yourself, because I was putting myself in the situation and I was thinking as a journalist how I would speak in that moment, right? And you were saying a lot of the things that I would have said.
And to clarify, they discovered someone who had killed themselves.
Yeah,
a body was hanging.
A body was hanging in the suicide forest. And you were saying like, whoa, we didn't know we were going to stumble upon this. This is what we were intending on. This just got so real. And you were giving your raw emotions. And then, so I'm watching and I'm like, what was the big thing? And then I see where you turned kind of into your younger self, your 23 version, right?
Yeah.
Which at the same time, everyone has different reactions to things.
Of
so
course.
I will say this, anytime I've really been scared, I've laughed. I've laughed at funerals. I've laughed, I don't know, I'm getting emotional. I've laughed at really scary things because that's my response. I don't know why I'm friggin' getting emotional. So I don't know if that was how you were kind of reacting in that moment.
It's a combination of things. One, yes, correct. I've always like, you know, my dog died in high school and we'd make jokes or laugh about it to make light of the situation because it's heartbreaking. So that was one reason. It's just like coping with a super stressful or overwhelming situation via comedy, which is what I've done my entire life. I'm a freaking goofball.
Yeah.
The main issue was after 460 days of vlogging, after every day, 5 to 10 million people watching your content and telling you, wow, you're funny. We like your energy. Yeah. We like when you make us laugh and smile. I was being vlog boy Logan. Let's make jokes. Let's show how cool or how much I can handle myself in an extraordinary situation instead of being a human being and shutting off the camera and reacting and responding like a typical human would. I was literally caught up on the drug of social media, and there was a lens pointing at me, and 5 to 10 million people were going to see this video. And in my mind, it was my job to spin this into something that could be conceived as positive. And in a sense, we did. Like, there was the suicide prevention awareness video we made after the fact, and I did my best to try to turn it into something that could change the conversation a bit. But and it's funny you said you watch it, because I absolutely cannot watch that video now.
Yeah,
it's a different me that has just been consumed by the world of what it means to have a following, and it's horrifying. So I mean, these past 6-7 months, I've just taken a step back from it, and once again discovered like who I am, and what it means to be a human, and have tried to make my content a little more real. Because the whole thing has opened my eyes so much, and I needed a slap in the face. I needed a slap in the face because I was becoming someone who I wasn't.
I think that's so vulnerable and honest from you, because I think it's a really accurate description of where someone can get, because there's no manual for this, for like success and fame. And it is easy to get wrapped up in everything and make an error of judgment.
How many people go on Howard Stern, celebrities' names we can't mention?
This is a great
example. I'll speak to myself. It's the same thing. You go on there and you just
get carried away.
You get carried away. And then you're getting all the energy from the fans and from the co-hosts. And, and then you, afterwards, you walk out and go, oh my God, what did I say?
What did I do? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then there's so I mean, that's the whole situation is a perfect storm, honestly. So that's one part of it. And then the second question everyone asks is like, how the fuck did this video get posted? How can the video be edited?
Yeah.
And posted the next day. And that is equally as chain reactive as the actual event itself. Mind you, when we saw what we saw in the forest, we were 100 yards away from the parking lot. There were 12-year-olds running around. no one goes into that forest and actually finds what is allegedly known as the suicide forest. Wow. It's called the Aokigahara Forest. It's a myth. It's a rumor. We even asked the people of Japan. They don't call it that. They call it the Aokigahara Forest. So the fact that all this happened was literally the perfect storm, and I cannot help but believe that this happened for a reason, mm-hmm. which was, I think, to humanize me.
Well, yeah, I think everything that happens in my life that's bad, I'm like, okay, life's happening for me, not to me.
Yeah.
Why is this happening right now? I'm distraught. This is a terrible moment. Yeah. And you have to figure out why. And when you're kind of, you know, not enlightened enough, but if you're of a higher consciousness to get to that place to say, okay, it happened for this reason, that's when you can make your improvements and adjustments. Yeah. And that's what helps you grow. And so I hear you're doing a documentary on all of this, right?
Yeah. It's I saw a headline the other day. It said Logan Paul is making a documentary about how dang hard his life has been this year.
I didn't see that.
I hate that so much. There's so much. I'm so easy to hate now, and people write negative articles to get clicks and views, and I get it, mm-hmm. but like, that's not what it's about
at all. Talk to Kim Kardashian. She knows all about it.
Oh my God, of course. So mm-hmm. it's not about that at all. It's about the intricacies of the social media drug and what it can do to a human being, mm-hmm. especially a kid from Ohio who grew up his whole life pretty much winning and doing the right thing and working really hard to achieve his goals, and how the perfect storm happened. And then we're kind of using the vehicle of this boxing match, which I have coming up in August mm-hmm. 25th, as the way to, again, realize who I am, focus my efforts on something else so I can truly find out who Logan Paul is and who Logan Paul is becoming.
So is the documentary meant to kind of just chronicle your journey, kind of getting through this kind of tough time and kind of rediscovering yourself in a sense?
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. So tentatively, I don't think this is the final title, but called Rise Fall, Rise Again.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting is why we don't think it's going to call it, we may not call it that, is because like at this very moment, me talking to you guys, who knows if there's going to be a rise again?
Yeah.
That's the hope. That's what I think a good documentary is real.
Yeah.
So it's me attempting to rise again.
Yeah.
Will I do it? I think so.
Did you take a big hit after this career-wise? Like, I know YouTube pulled stuff. Like, yeah. Is all that rectified now?
No. I mean, just because my name has a negative stigma to it. And the one thing I definitely want to say about this whole situation is that it's all a fault of my own. This is all my actions. So by no means am I like, oh.
Poor me.
No, it's like, no, I did this. It was a tasteless, senseless mistake, and I'm gonna keep my chin up to rectify the situation and do what I can to become the person I want to be. So my career took a hit, absolutely. But like, I'm not crazy worried. I have an amazing fan base. I know my goals and what I want to accomplish in life, and I know I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think good things come to those who wait, and I'm going to keep working hard.
So what is next? I mean, you got the boxing match,
but
where do you want to go? Like, where do you envision yourself? Because I know you, if you're doing these mantras every day, what is Logan Paul in 10 years? Like, where are you?
I'm going to be the biggest entertainer in the world.
I love that. I honestly got so high listening to your video, I'm motivated by you.
But here's the thing.
Logan, you're so, you know, and it's good for everyone else to hear this because, you know, there are the lightning in the bottles, right? The reality stars who are cast, they're really not anybody. They really didn't work for other than show for an audition. And there are people who just shoot their mouths off to web cameras and somehow end up with very big followings.
Yeah.
But if you really listen to his story, mm-hmm. you worked so hard to climb that mountain. So you got knocked down a little bit, but see, the pieces are all there to climb back up.
Yeah.
It's the people that didn't have
Nick,
that
cue
ascension.
The music, Chubbawamba. I got knocked down.
But, yeah.
I get but knocked down, but I get up again.
But here's the thing. But, you know, and we see this all the time. So the people that built themselves always will be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, always be fine.
I wonder, like, your videos are so cool. How much of it is all from your brain? Like, who does all of this? Do you have like a team of people making this stuff? How does it work?
At first it was 100% me. Now it's maybe about 80% me. But you know, I'm surrounded by a phenomenal team that I put in place because they're better at doing things that I can't. You got to know what your weaknesses are. I have the best videographer. I have the best editor. Mm-hmm. I have the best managerial team. So it's a group effort just to make this like world shattering content that every day we're delivering something that can distract people from their daily lives, make you laugh, smile. If you had a hard day, that's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm. You're from Ohio. What did your parents do for a living?
My mom was a nurse and my dad was a realtor.
Got it.
And then the housing market crashed. My parents got divorced, and so had a, I don't want to say a bit of a rough upbringing, but like definitely wasn't easy per se. That's why like I think what you were saying is right. I am self-made, like kid from Ohio who was destined to become an engineer. Like that's what I wanted to do. That's what I was mm-hmm. studying. And then I said, fuck this. I'm going to go ahead and become a great entertainer and spread positivity and love in the world via my comedy.
I am just going to start working on my YouTube. I have someone coming tomorrow. We're going to shoot one of these like little videos, this intro video. And I was like, guys, can we use cool mirrors? Like, I freaking love this video.
Yeah, transitions. I like that.
It was amazing.
I like that.
And so anyhow, I want to talk a little bit more about what you're kind of envisioning. You have this clothing line. Mm-hmm. I saw that you did a sale on a Dubai flight.
Oh, man.
Did you buy out all of the first class seats and just set up a shop and people were able to come buy?
Here's what I did. Okay. I got a first class seat. And if you go on an Emirates flight, if you've, I'm sure you have been in the
I haven't gone to Dubai yet.
Okay. You should definitely go.
You get like a room, right?
It's basically like a little cubby, a little room for you. But the shower room, the bathroom is huge.
Your own shower?
Your own shower.
What?
You have to reserve it. You have to reserve it.
Okay.
You go there for like, I think the time is like 15 minutes.
Okay.
So I went in there and I turned it into a pop-up shop for Maverick. And they were not happy with me. They were not happy with me at all. I don't know how I'm not blacklisted, to be honest with you.
Wait, so how did you tell people that you were doing this? Did you social it, or did you like get on the speaker on the plane and say, "Hey guys"?
So when we got on,
Black Friday, yeah, Maverick Black Friday, sale right? In the bathroom.
When we got on, there was three low gangsters, we call them. Kids who are in the low gang, my audience. And I was like, yo, when my manager tells you to come up to the bathroom, like. Just come up and like I'll let you pick out some merch. They're like, oh my god, we want merch. So when it happened, I texted my manager. I was like, hey man, like why don't you come up here, like bring the kids or whatever. And it sounds weird like inviting like kids into a bathroom. That's why I had like my manager come in there, so it's not like creepy at all.
Uh-huh.
They came in there, we sold them merch. I just gave it to them, but yeah, man, it was crazy. It was beautiful. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Pop-up shop in an airplane bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you doing with the clothing line now?
Everything. I mean, we have new drops like I think like two, three times a month. But to me, this brand is growing with me. It's about truly, truly being a Maverick, which I can attribute my entire success to, is just being different and not being afraid to live in your own skin. Because I know a lot of people feel ostracized. I did when I was younger. Because I was the kid, I was the only kid in high school who was like making funny videos online. And like, it's cool now, but when you're in high school getting 100 views, you're a loser.
And back then,
Oh, of course. Back then when YouTube Star wasn't a thing.
Right.
I just like making videos with my brother. But I was just like, screw this, man. I'm gonna do me. You guys can go do you. And I'm gonna work hard and achieve my goals because I'm doing it different, which is our motto. Doing it different, spreading your wings. Not being afraid to be you and being a Maverick.
It's a good message. And what about
friends from high school? Do you stay in touch with any of them?
One. Yeah.
Usually how it goes.
It's interesting, huh? And he's the one who was behind the camera. He was the one who helped us shoot. Like
back in the day?
Closest friend, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And mind you, I go home, I'm still like tight with all of them. It's like we never left, but only one am I texting like on a regular basis. Yeah.
What's your quote to live by?
Quote to live by as far as like
do you have a quote that you love?
I'd have to say do it different.
Mm-hmm.
Do it different.
I think, I mean, especially now, there are so many industries that are oversaturated.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are just getting noticed or succeeding because they are doing it different. Mm-hmm. They're doing something fresh and new. They're filling a niche that has not been filled yet, and they're achieving success and their goals through that.
Do you ever fear that you've already lived so much that there is not a lot left to live? Like, I look at your stuff and I'm like, he's done so much at such a young age. I thought I had done a lot at my age already.
It's so funny you say that.
And then
that.
People are like, well, what do you have to like look forward
so
to,
funny
right?
You say that. The Why? Answer is absolutely yes. I've grown up, in a sense, way too fast without growing up at all because I've done so much stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's all for a camera. You know, every one day I'm jumping out of a plane naked. One day I'm in France, like swimming with sharks, like
wrestling an alligator.
One day I'm wrestling an alligator. The next day I'm wrestling a bear. Like so many crazy things and crazy experiences. The answer is yeah. Like I've lived like five full lifetimes and I'm 23. Now I think it's like I'm going to search for a little bit more of a meaningful life, a little bit more of meaningful relationships while still doing the things. I'm still a crazy idiot, mind mm-hmm. you. And I still enjoy jumping on a plane naked. But I think.
Wait, I just had a vision because I also read about your issue.
Oh, yeah, the testicle issue.
The testicle issue. Yeah. Wait, can I ask you a question? Because yeah. I don't know about this.
This has become such a thing.
You had a testicle injury that you told Jimmy Kimmel about, who I'm going on a show tonight, by the way.
You're on a show tonight?
I am.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
I'm judging the belly flop contest.
Amazing.
I'm very excited.
Amazing.
And so have you heard from a doctor whether you will be able to procreate safely?
It was the first question. Okay. It was the first question. They said yes.
Okay.
Thank
just
God.
Just making sure.
So I could.
Because I imagine you want a family and all of that.
I would
at
love.
Some point.
I would love that. Yeah. I would love. Honestly, kind of relating to your last question, if it happens soon, that'd be. I mean, like, I don't know. That'd be cool. That'd be
interesting.
Fun. I mean, like,
is Miss Chloe on board with this?
No. No,
is
no,
she,
no.
Is she just, your age? Yeah. I don't know how she is.
She's 20, 26.
It's still okay. More fun to be had at
true.
Logan
yeah,
headquarters.
Yeah, but she's 26.
True.
Then she's her clock starting
I'm
to
just,
tick.
Also, I'm just
10-year
bored,
window.
Dude. I'm bored.
Of what?
Life, man. That's why I do the things. I'm just like, man, what can we do today that's like fun, dude? So
First of all, you know I'm right here and I'm ready to do fun shit. So if you are ever bored and you
things.
Need a fun person, I'm crazy and I love to have fun. That's why Albie, I'm always texting them like, guys, what are we doing? Let's go do something
so
fun.
So next
crazy.
Time we do something crazy at our yeah. house, I'll invite you over. It's yeah. I've been taking it easy because I don't want to get hurt for this fight.
Yes,
but
no, you got to be safe.
Got to be for now, which yeah. I've never thought I'd do in my life. But yeah,
no, you have to be careful for
you
this.
Do. You do,
but yeah. So you're bored. And
if I just had a little Logan running around, I just feel like, of course, it'd be a horrifying disaster. But like, imagine,
oh
imagine how
you know
fun
what,
that
you
would
know what
be.
They actually say, and we don't have children, but from people who have children, you actually work harder, you focus more because you know you have that
saying,
little thing.
It would force yeah, me to grow up
a little bit. Yeah,
it would like I don't know. Something about that is cool to me.
But also, your life is. Your life and career is almost in a way built on not growing up, right? Because when you're an entertainer, you're supposed to
be
light and fun.
It's
and
based
all of
on
that,
entertaining
right?
and fun, but you want to be childlike, not childish.
Oh, what a great distinction!
That's great.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, it's true.
I mean, okay, you know what? I mean, I think guys like this are going to go on to, and it may not be him, but are going to look at mm-hmm. politics, the presidency. You know,
Wait, do you have aspirations
going
of those
into
kinds?
Space.
I thought about becoming a president. Maybe down the line. It sounds ridiculous, right? Sounds ridiculous.
Doesn't sound ridiculous anymore.
But when I was 12 years old and I said I want to be famous on YouTube and make millions of dollars, people scoffed at me. Mm-hmm. So now when I sit here and if I say I want to go to space,
they're
going to
scoff at
they're
you.
They're
going
to go, yeah, you're never going to space, idiot.
By the way, first yeah. YouTuber in space.
You don't know that. First YouTuber in space.
Wait,
right?
I
want
to do
that.
The first interview in space. I told Lady Gaga because she wants to go to space.
Isn't she performing? Isn't she performing or wasn't that like
she wants
schedule?
To.
She wants to.
Okay.
But we can
so
make a whole
first
thing
YouTuber,
happen.
First pop star, and first interviewer together in space.
You know, 2 years ago, my mantra was I will be the biggest entertainer in the world. My manager's like, yo. They're sending people to space, man.
Wait, I wanted to go to Mars.
stars.
I hear Lady Gaga's going to perform. He's like, you got to start saying you're going to be the biggest entertainer in the universe.
Oh.
The universe.
Oh. Yeah. Universe. Yeah, we
intergalactic entertainment.
We changed it right here on Conversations with Maria.
You
Sirius
heard it
XM.
First here for
and
folks.
Logan, yeah. I mean, look, listen, 35 is the legal age for president.
Yeah.
You know, would you consider running?
It's honestly... It's way too hard to say now.
Yeah.
It's way too hard to say. I'd much rather go to space. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I'd much rather go
to Mars. When I'm like 65 and I'm like, it's been a good run, Earth. Salute everyone. Dip off to Mars.
Wait. So I talked about this with my other friend who's like a genius, and I was like, AJ, I'm like, I would love to be one of the people that signed up for Mars. I know it's crazy, but I feel like I've lived an incredibly full life. I've interviewed almost every sitting president in my lifetime. I've wrestled at WrestleMania. I've performed in front of 600 million people at Eurovision. I've done crazy, amazing things in my life.
Go for it.
So I was like, I would totally do this. But he's like, what about me? What are you, my parents? I'm like, sometimes you just gotta.
Yeah.
Listen.
Sometimes you just gotta go to Mars.
I have to tell you.
I just don't know how I would live without sushi. That's what I'm still figuring out.
There's great movies about Mars. Great movies about Mars in the screening room that I watch all the time.
Yeah.
Very happy. Very content. Yeah. You go. Very you
so
go.
Would you consider being one of the people that went to Mars?
Absolutely.
But
in
you
a
can't
heartbeat.
Come back.
Okay.
That's the problem.
The conversation has drastically changed.
Yes,
suddenly.
But that's the conversation.
Okay. When I'm like, dude, if I'm older, like 70, of course I don't need to come back. What's here? I've done it. Put me on Mars. Let me grow potatoes and eat them like Matt Damon did in that one movie.
Okay, so here's what we're doing. Right. We're gonna set up the moon for now.
I would love.
I'm gonna interview you guys.
Okay.
We're gonna have an amazing time.
Even if it's just in space, guys, we're good.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the moon to do it.
Yeah, you do. I want to go to the moon.
Well, the problem is, Nick will tell you that they never went to the moon. Don't you know the conspiracy?
Oh, honey, please.
What?
Conversation for another day.
Yeah, conversation with Kevin.
Listen, I'd like to offer my quote.
Okay, hurry on, because I got to end the show.
It's actually not my quote. I got it from the great Pat O'Brien, Before Your Time. Great entertainment journalist.
Okay.
And Pat had said to me, no, this is a great quote, and it's not one I live by.
Hurry.
The only thing undefeated in life is... pussy.
Oh my God, honey. Honey. Guys, I apologize. My husband is a whack. I told you.
That's a quote from Pat O'Brien.
My guest today.
And it's one I live by.
Logan Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
I love you guys, of course.
Thanks for a really fun show. You're welcome here anytime. I know it's a long walk. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Logan. Up next, Dr. Stephen Gundry. He's going to talk lectins. Guys, my next guest is the best-selling author of The Plant Paradox, The Hidden Dangers in Healthy Foods That Cause Disease and Weight Gain, which singer Kelly Clarkson and others attribute to getting healthy. A world-renowned cardiac surgeon, he's also successfully treated tens of thousands of patients suffering from autoimmune disorders with the program, he's going to tell us about right now. Please welcome Dr. Stephen Gundry!
Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to the show. I know you're in beautiful Palm Springs right now, right?
Yeah, nice and toasty Palm Springs in the summer.
Oh, boy. So everybody who is listening right now, wherever you are, this is why you need to continue listening to this show, okay? So some of the patients you have helped... these are the health problems that you have helped resolve, Dr. Gundry. Aching joints, acid reflux, heartburn, acne, age spots, allergies, alopecia, anemia, arthritis, asthma, autoimmune diseases, including thyroid disorders, rheumatoid arthritis, type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, colitis, lupus, bone loss, brain fog, cancer, chronic fatigue, colon polyps, dementia, depression, diabetes, exhaustion, fibromyalgia, headaches, heart disease, infertility, IBS, leukemia, male pattern baldness, migraine headaches. I'm skipping a lot, by the way. Parkinson's, peripheral neuropathy, slow infant and child growth, unexplained bouts of dizziness or ear ringing, weight loss or weight gain. There's probably 50 more I missed in there. But these are all of the things that you have been able to resolve, all of the ailments you've been able to resolve in your patients with the plant paradox. So... now that we've got everyone's attention.
And that sounds crazy, doesn't it? It really does.
You know, I don't believe it's crazy, Dr. Gundry, because I have always thought, you know, they, as was it Hippocrates that said, let food be thy medicine?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? So I do believe that everything can be adjusted with diet. I just didn't know how much. I always felt it, and I had an instinct and a gut for it. But after reading this book, and I was glued to it, and realizing how many healthy foods really can be unhealthy for us and for a variety of different reasons, it blew my mind. And your journey blew my mind because, and maybe we start there so people understand who you are and where you came from. I know you studied at Yale University. Give everybody a quick Dr. Gundry recap and why you left that practice and started this journey.
Yeah, the quick recap. Luckily, back in the dark ages when I went to Yale as an undergraduate, we could design our own major. And I had a major where you had to defend a thesis. And my thesis was you could take a great ape, manipulate its food supply, manipulate its environment, and prove that you would create a human being. And I actually defended my thesis and got an honor, and I gave it to my parents. And then I went on to become a very famous heart surgeon and professor and chairman at Loma Linda University here in Southern California. And with my partner, Leonard Bailey, did all the infant and baby heart transplants and did a lot of immunology work and transplant. And anyhow, I became famous for operating on people that nobody else wanted to. And I was introduced to a gentleman who I call Big Ed in all my books. And Big Ed was from Miami, Florida, and had inoperable coronary artery disease. Young man, 48 years old. And he was big. He was very large when I met him. And he had been going around the country looking for surgeons or cardiologists to work on him. He had so much blockages in his coronary arteries that you couldn't put stents in it. There wasn't any place to put them. You couldn't do bypasses. There wasn't any place to land them. And he wound up on my door after about 6 months of going around the country looking for somebody. And I looked at his angiogram, the movie of his heart, and I said, you know, Big Ed, I agree with everybody else. Nothing we're going to be able to do for you. I'm sorry. I don't like to turn people down. He said, well, here's the deal. I've been at this for 6 months. I've gone on a diet. I've lost 45 pounds. Now, he was 265 pounds when I met him. And he said, I went to a health food store, and I'm taking all these supplements. He actually brought in this huge shopping bag full of supplements. And he says, you know, maybe I did something here in my heart. And I'm scratching my professor beard going, oh, good for you for losing weight, but it's not going to do anything in your heart. And I know what you did with all those supplements. You made expensive urine. I really believe that. And he says, well, you know, what would it hurt to get another angiogram, another movie of my heart? And I said, don't get your hopes up, but okay. Well, in 6 months' time, this guy had cleaned out 50% of all the blockages in his coronary arteries. Yeah. I've never seen that. Now, I've seen it a lot since, but I've never seen it. And now the heart surgeon in me says, hey, this is great news. Now we've got some places to put bypasses. You still got blockages, but now there's some places we can do it. So I actually did a five-vessel bypass on him, which I wouldn't do now because now I'd say, hey, great, you know, you've got these coronary arteries starting to clean out. Let's keep doing this. But I was pretty stupid back then. And this was 17 years ago. So after we were done, I said, hey, you know, tell me about this diet of yours. And he starts telling me, and I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, this is the diet I described of ancient human beings. That was my thesis.
Wow.
And I actually called my parents in San Diego. I said, hey, you know, do you still have my thesis? And they said, oh, yeah, you know, it's here in the shrine next to the eternal flame. And so I said, oh, you know, send it up to me. Because, interestingly enough, I, at that time, was obese. I weighed 228 pounds, and I'm only 5'10". And I was running 30 miles a week, going to the gym 1 hour a day. And I had high blood pressure, pre-diabetes. I actually did baby heart transplant with migraine headaches and high cholesterol. And I'm doing all these things right. And I'm going, you know, why do I have all these things? And I was told it was genetic because my father was the same way. And then I start looking through Big Ed's bag of supplements. And I was very famous for keeping hearts alive for heart transplant for several days and resuscitating dead hearts. And I invented a device to protect hearts during heart surgery that's still the world's largest used device. And so I'm looking through the supplements, and some of these supplements I was putting down the veins and arteries of hearts to keep them alive, and it never occurred to me to swallow the dumb things. So I started taking a bunch of supplements, and I put myself on my thesis. And I lost 50 pounds my first year, and I've lost another 20 since then. I used to wear braces on my knees to run. My arthritis went away. My blood pressure went away. My prediabetes went away, and I don't get migraine headaches. So I started operating on the people I operated on at Loma Linda, but then giving them this program and after I operated on them. And sure enough, they're... diabetes went away, their arthritis went away, their blood pressure went away. And then one fateful day about 16 years ago, my wife still calls it Black Friday, I looked in the mirror and I said, you know, I can't keep doing what I'm doing. I can't operate on people and then tell them what to do to avoid me later. I need to teach them what to eat and I won't have to operate on them. Now, that's really stupid. I mean,
well, it sounds less costly. I mean, yeah. less financially gaining for you, right? A heart surgery is going to cost you a lot or get you a lot more money.
that's correct. That's why my wife calls it Black Friday. I resigned my position at Loma Linda and set up a clinic in Palm Springs. I also have one now in Santa Barbara where I asked people to let me take a bunch of blood from you every 3 months, and insurance and Medicare will pay for it. And I'm going to ask you to not eat certain foods and to eat other foods, and I'm going to send you to Costco or Trader Joe's or Amazon, and I'm going to ask you to buy some supplements, and let's see what happens. And, you know, in my book, I dedicate this book to all my patients, because really everything I've learned and published, it was my patients every 3 months showing up and doing silly things that I asked them to do. And so that's it.
So here we are. Wow. And my co-host Serena and I are just like, you know, listening to everything.
Hanging
on your every word. We know you recently helped Kelly Clarkson. Or was she just somebody that found the book and decided to jump on this diet? Tell us a little bit about that.
That's what's so exciting. She just found the book and went on this. I do have celebrities that I see, and some of them I can mention, but most of them I can't. But she found it, you know, without me or anything. And that's what's so really wonderful, because in the book is really all the information you need to turn your life around. Mm-hmm. And Kelly had Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and she was on medication. And 2 months ago, I published a paper at the American Heart Association Epidemiology and Lifestyle Meeting, taking 102 patients with biomarker-proven autoimmune disease, like lupus, like rheumatoid arthritis, like Crohn's, like MS, and putting them on this program for 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, 95 out of 102 patients were negative for those biomarkers of autoimmune disease, off of all medications, off of all their immunosuppressants, off of their, for instance, thyroid medication, just like Kelly. And so this huge epidemic of autoimmune disease is... Mm-hmm. is fixable as long as we kind of change some of the common foods that we eat, and as long as we actually get our microbiome, the bugs in your gut, back to a normal. And you said you have a gut feeling about all this, and it's actually very, very, very true. Hippocrates, who you mentioned, 2,500 years ago, said that all disease begins in the gut. And, I mean, he couldn't have been more prophetic. I absolutely, positively agree with him that all those crazy diseases that you mentioned actually stem from either a derangement of our microbiome, but most importantly, from leaky gut.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had asked me even 12 years ago what I thought about leaky gut, I would have said, that's just, you know, hocus pocus. There's no such thing. Now I can tell you, because of these sophisticated tests, blood tests that we have, all diseases actually stem from leaky gut, including coronary artery disease.
So explain what leaky gut is for everyone that's listening.
Okay. So you and I, the lining of our intestines from our mouth all the way down to our rear end is the same surface area as a tennis court. Think about that.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah, inside of you.
And it's one cell thick, right?
It's only one cell thick. And these cells are all held together, locked arm in arm. Like when I was young, we played a game called Red Rover, Red Rover.
Yes, so did we.
Send Serena right over.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, exactly, Serena. Mm-hmm. So the idea was to break through that line, right? And usually there was a big kid with a knee. It would scare you to death, and, you know, the girls would scream, and so we're all locked. All these cells are locked arm in arm to keep the food we eat and the bacteria in there, and these little plant proteins that are called lectins, and we'll get back to that, out of us. Well, what's been discovered is that lectins, which are plant proteins, which are designed by the plant to make their predator, like us, sick. Lectins actually flip a switch on the wall of our gut and make those locked arms break. The locked arms are called tight junctions. And when that breaks, there's a gap between cells and a leak. And what leaks through there are these proteins, which are called lectins, which are like a splinter that gets under your skin. And our body attacks them or attacks other things in our body that looks like them. And bacterial particles, which are called LPSs, and I won't use the word I use in the book. Maybe I can. You can.
It's satellite radio.
Yeah. So they're called lipopolysaccharides, and they're abbreviated LPSs. And I don't swear, but I call them little pieces of shit. because that's actually what they are. And what people don't know is throughout the day when this is going on, we have these lectins and these bacterial particles that are getting through the wall of our gut. And this is actually what causes inflammation. And inflammation is the root cause of really all diseases, whether it's Alzheimer's, whether it's Parkinson's, whether it's heart disease, arthritis. And it's all coming from the fact that this one cell thick barrier that's the size of a tennis court is constantly being breached. And what this program does is teach you how to, you know, seal this wall. That's how you do it. And so we take away certain foods, which seem to be really good for you. And it's actually foods that we were never designed to eat. And sadly, it's all the grains and pseudo-grains. Interestingly enough, gluten happens to be a lectin. And the problem for many of the people I see who have gone gluten-free is gluten-free foods actually have far worse lectins than gluten itself.
Like corn and things
like
that?
So like corn and quinoa. Yeah. You know, the Incas had three detoxification processes to get the lectins out of quinoa so it wouldn't kill them.
Wow.
They soaked it for 48 hours. Then they let it rot. They fermented it. And then they cooked it. And it's not on the package directions.
I think we're a lot lazier than the Incas, that's for sure.
You know, that's an incredibly good point. They're, you know, traditional mothers taught daughters, and my mother actually taught her son, me, traditional preparation of foods. And we've lost that really in the last two generations. I'll give you a personal example. My grandmother was French, and she taught my mother that you had to peel tomatoes and de-seed them because the peel and the seeds were toxic. recently of electric.
I did this last night. I grew San Marzano tomatoes. I'm Italian, and I know you cook as well. Mm-hmm. And I read after, I was like, all right, well, I guess we're
peeling tomatoes
we're
now.
Boiling, blanching, and peeling and deseeding. So I did.
Yeah, you know,
night,
I mean,
yeah.
It's interesting that the Italians hybridized the Roma tomato to have the most pulp to skin and seeds. And if you think about it, what they would do is just, you know, throw the tomatoes in boiling water for 30 seconds and cut it in half. The peel would come right off, and then they'd squeeze this little bit of seeds out and then throw it in the pot. And Italians have always done that. And so it wasn't until I went away to Yale when I actually had a sliced tomato with a peel and seed, and I thought it was the weirdest thing I'd ever had in my life because, you know, my grandmother knew better. The yeah. Italians always peel and deseed their peppers before they eat them. You'll never open a glass jar of Italian bell peppers and see peels and seeds. The Southwest American Indians always peel and deseed their peppers. You'll never open a can of green chilies and see peels and seeds because they're gone.
So, Dr. Gundry, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about more about lectins, where they exist, because they are shockingly in things that we all think are healthy. Let's talk about where lectins exist and how we need to proceed. Obviously, everyone's best bet is to get the book. This will also be in my podcast this Friday. But where do lectins exist?
So they're present in all grains and pseudograins. So they're in wheat, rye, oatmeal. They're in corn. They're in all beans and legumes. They're in peanuts and cashews, which are actually beans. They're not nuts at all. They're in chia seeds, sadly. They're in the nightshades, which are potatoes, eggplant, tomatoes, peppers, and goji berries. Unfortunately,
whoa.
Goji berries are nightshades. Wow. Darn it. And they're in squashes and pumpkins and cucumbers. Now, again, traditional societies like Greece and Turkey always peel and deseed their cucumbers.
Right, that's right.
And that's why they do that.
So that's so where it is. It's in the seeds and in the skin.
Peel. Correct.
Okay. So if you now, remove that, you're okay.
Yeah. In grains, they're in the hull. So they're not present, interestingly enough, in sorghum or millet, because neither of those actually have a hull. And I actually make sorghum popcorn. I've even got a video on my YouTube channel that tells you about sorghum popcorn. You can even buy it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it tastes just like popcorn. It just looks like mini popcorn.
Got it. And it's in chicken. Like you, there was a part in the book where you talked about a patient who was suffering from all these autoimmune issues.
From lupus, yeah.
And she was super healthy looking. And the one thing you realized she was eating was chicken. And chicken, they feed them corn and soybean. So that has lectin. So now you're eating the corn and soybean through the chicken.
That's correct.
And it's making you ill.
I would never believe this, but you are what you eat. But you are what the thing you're eating ate. And chickens are actually supposed to eat bugs and grass. They're insectivores. They're not supposed to eat all vegetarian feed of corn and soybeans. And corn and soybeans both have large amounts of lectins. So when a chicken eats corn and soybeans, they're no longer a chicken. They're basically an ear of corn with feathers. And I learned this from my daughters when we lived in London, England, and back in the 1980s when chicken was fed fish meal in London. And we went to a Kentucky Fried Chicken, which had just opened, and my daughters really missed American chicken. So they bit into this chicken, a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they go, "Ooh, you tricked us. This is a fish. This isn't chicken." And I said, no, look, you know, it's a drumstick. See, there's a bone there. And they said, no, this is fish. No, you know, how dare you? And it was true. The chicken tasted like fish because it had been fed fish. And it wasn't a chicken. It was a fish in feathers. So I've been shocked with the number of people who their organic free-range chicken is one of the reasons that they're ill.
Well, I also read in there that you said it can be dubbed a free range if there's a doorway that's allowed open for 5 minutes a day.
Yeah, that's the federal standard of free range. It was passed in 2007. It was actually a Republican congressman from a chicken-growing district in Georgia that introduced it. But the definition of free range, you can keep 100,000 chickens in a warehouse, feed them corn and soybeans, and as long as you open a door to a 3-yard by 3-yard patch of grass 5 minutes a day, and the chicken has the potential to go outside, that's the definition of a free-range chicken.
Yeah. So now,
and
what do you
the other
eat?
Scary part: grass-fed beef. All cows, for at least one day of their life, eat grass. So you can technically label any cow grass-fed that spent a day or two on grass and then was taken to a feedlot and fed corn and soybean the rest of its life.
So we're going out, we're spending all this money on grass-fed beef. How do we know if it's real then?
Grass-fed, grass-finished is what you're looking for.
Ooh, okay. So where do you food shop, Dr. Gundry, and where and what do you eat? Because it sounds like you can only eat air.
No, I'm not an air-itarian. I'm an olive oil-itarian. No, I'm what I describe myself as a veg aquarian. I eat mostly leaves and tubers like yams, like jicama, like taro root. But my personal feeling is the only purpose of food is to get olive oil into your mouth. And the Italians, the Spanish, the Greeks tend to eat about a liter of olive oil per week. There's a beautiful study out of Spain looking at memory in 65-year-old people who were asked to use a liter of olive oil per week for 5 years. And they actually improved their memory over a corresponding group that was asked to eat a low-fat Mediterranean diet. And the low-fat diet lost memory. The olive oil group gained memory over 5 years.
Wow. Yeah. This makes me very happy. I use olive oil in large quantities.
So I also want to talk about a few other things that we're ingesting that are interesting that I loved. You said that swallowing one Advil or Aleve is like swallowing a hand grenade.
Yeah. Dr. McColl and I were talking about this. Back in the 1970s when Advil and Motrin and Naprosyn Aleve were introduced, they were a prescription drug. And there was actually a warning from the FDA, you should never take these for longer than 2 weeks. They're that dangerous. And there's a lot of research that I cite in the book from drug companies that they knew that the damage these things cause were in the lining of the small intestine, where all of our little arms are locked arm in arm. And we didn't know that because our gastroscopes only reached down to the stomach. So we didn't see what was going on in the small intestine. The drug companies knew, but they didn't bother to tell anybody. And it wasn't until pill cameras were introduced recently that we started to see all the damage that was caused. And in my book, I talk a lot about a lot of athletes who were treated unknowingly by well-meaning orthopedic surgeons or sports medicine doctors with high-dose Advil or Motrin or Aleve for a sports injury. And they actually developed an autoimmune disease because of how porous their gut became.
And so basically the cells were getting separated. The linked arms are being separated by the Advil and Aleve.
That's exactly right. It actually causes craters, ulcerous craters to occur. And now, I mean, the sad thing is now we have, you know, we have children's Advil, for goodness sakes.
Wow.
So these are not benign substances that have worked our way into our standard culture.
And I feel like a lot of this is because we really have become lazy with our diet. We're not cooking anymore. We're going out to eat, which means we have no control over what we're eating, which, you know, they're putting everything in there that you don't even know, and you're getting, you know, bigger and sicker. Are you somebody that has a cheat day in your diet, Dr. Gundry?
I don't have a cheat day, but if I'm going to cheat, it's when I'm over in Europe, where up until a few months ago, the herbicide Roundup was banned, but Bayer, as you probably know, bought Monsanto. And a few months ago, the EU now approved Roundup in Europe on crops. But when I cheat, and I know I'm going to cheat, I actually take one of my products, shameless plug for Gundry MD, Lectin Shield, which actually absorbs lectins. And unfortunately, I don't recommend it as a license to cheat, but whenever I know I'm going to cheat, I just swallow a couple of Lectin Shields, and it'll absorb lectins.
Good to know. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was why now? So we have just a few minutes left. Why now has this become so significant? And why now are these foods so contaminated?
Yeah, so I think I talk about the seven deadly disruptors. And I think Kelly Clarkson got this correct. Antibiotics we use willy-nilly. Taking broad-spectrum antibiotics is literally like pouring napalm on our microbiome, a dense rainforest, and it wipes out our microbiome. Antibiotics are given to all of our animals, even though the FDA has now banned antibiotics in animal feed. They give the right to the veterinarian to give antibiotics if he thinks, for instance, one chicken out of 100,000 might be sick. The veterinarian, who is paid for by big agriculture, has the right to treat all of the animals with antibiotics just to spare that one, rather than calling that bird or that cow out. So they're still in our food supply. So every time we eat chicken or beef or pork, we're getting a dose of antibiotics. We're getting our gastric acid is being killed by Nexium and Prilosec and all of these antacids. And we actually have to have gastric acid to kill lectins and bacteria. And we have endocrine disruptors, hormone disruptors in our sunscreen, in our cosmetics, in our plastic wraps. We have just become disrupted in so many ways. Blue light from our computer screens, from our cell phones, actually tell us to eat. Artificial sweeteners, we now know, kill off all of our bugs in our gut and make us
hungry. Stevia is okay, though, right?
Stevia is fine. Monk fruit is fine. Things like Swerve or erythritol or xylitol are fine. They don't kill bugs. And the other thing is Roundup is now in everything. It's sprayed on conventional crops. So just because something doesn't say GMO doesn't mean it doesn't have Roundup in it. And Roundup, it turns out, kills the bacteria in our gut. And we didn't know this. The drug company or Monsanto assured us that it wouldn't, but it does.
So greed is killing us, yeah. And laziness is killing us.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
I just think it's fascinating what you've discovered with the lectins, and it's fascinating when you read this book. I want to get copies of it, and Serena wants to get copies of
my
it
whole family.
To everyone in our families because it's so important. The thing is having the dedication to your health before something hits. And so for anyone who's listening, if you have something, Dr. Gundry's diet is helping so many people get past it, even things that you never think could be passed. My husband has been on a diet similar, and his thyroid, he's now off his medication. It's unbelievable. Guys, if you want to find Dr. Gundry on Instagram, you can find him, at Dr. Stephen Gundry. That's Stephen with a V. And you can go to GundryMD.com for his program. Of course, the book is called The Plant Paradox. It's available wherever books are sold. My other author in the room, The Hot Chick Book. You can find that wherever books are sold. That's Miss Serena Vincent.
And
you can find
her
on Instagram.
The Plant Paradox Cookbook is out.
Oh, yeah, I have it right here.
Bestseller.
Yes.
The Plant Paradox Cookbook, 100 recipes to help you on this journey, guys. You can get
delicious.
That as well. Dr. Gundry, I'm going to have to meet up with you to do another show because there's so many things we didn't get to. Thank you so much for your time and for your knowledge. All right, guys, we've learned a lot today. Becky, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Loved having you and love watching you on SmackDown and love you as a part of this amazing amazing women's movement.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for contributing all that you've done and helping us out and helping us grow.
Thank you. I love you girls. I love everybody in the WWE. And Miss Ashley Daniels, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast. Rate, comment, subscribe, help us out, guys. Tell a friend. Check us out on SiriusXM Stars, Channel 109, weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also hear us on the On Demand app. Follow us at Maria Menounos, at Becky Lynch WWE, at Miss Ashley Daniels, at Christy Reports, at SiriusXM Stars. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.